An old English proverb says, "Don't bring a knife to a gunfight." While most of us can realize the obvious logic and probable outcome of that statement, the urgency and necessity to be prepared for the battles of everyday life and the days ahead escapes the mentality of the masses. And yes, if I were to be completely truthful, even me. Hello. I'm Shelley Dizdar, and this is Light Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. Today, we're going to take a look at the importance of being appropriately prepared for battle. When I was a little girl, my Sunday school teacher had what was called a flannelgraph soldier. It was basically a paper doll-like character made out of felt that would stick to a board covered in flannel. The soldier was used to help us memorize Ephesians 6, 13 through 17, regarding the whole armor of God. My favorite part was the sword, which is the Word of God. What great imagery Paul uses as he takes this analogy from the ever-present Roman guards, making sure he doesn't escape his home office, if you will. If you stop to think about it, all the other pieces of armor are to protect or are defensive. Even back in the 60s with the hippie movement, and still today with the whole New Age thing, as well as the church in America, few people have any problem with the idea of peace and truth, or maybe I should say truth as people want to make it. You know, relativism. But that was a different podcast. Even righteousness and salvation seem to take on a variety of debatable definitions. However, when you mention the Word of God, people tend to get nervous. You don't have to look too far before you find someone trying to reduce the Word of God to the habits and lifestyles of believers, rather than preach the power of the word to sustain and provide the good news of victorious living, regardless of the circumstances. There are also those trying to market a new, fresh revelation or word from God that they believe supersedes anything in the past. Not to mention age-old cults that seem to believe they have all the right answers, due to a different revelation that was given to their particular Allah or God. Of course, there's also the debate about which translation to use. That's not the focus of this podcast, however, and I'd just like to go on record that the Word of God is the Word of God, whether it's in Chinese, Latin, German, French, etc., etc. The Word of God quoted in the 26th revision of King James language is not more powerful than the Word of God quoted in Spanish or any other language. That being said, let's move right along. Have you ever heard the expression, "A man is only as good as his word"? Well, one thing I know for sure, God is as good as his word. John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now that's what I'm talking about. John 14:6, Jesus makes this statement, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way, the truth, and the life was, by Jewish tradition, a reference to the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the books of law. Jesus also said that he didn't come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill the law. When Jesus was tempted by Satan himself, Jesus chose not to engage in conversation other than to quote the Old Testament, Word of God. Oh, that we should quickly follow his example and not entertain suggestions of the enemy, but quickly refute them by simply quoting the Word of God on a matter. I believe that's called taking every thought captive and bringing it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Too often, people rationalize and try to figure out some kind of loophole in the Word in order to justify what they plan on doing anyway. It really shouldn't come as a surprise to any Christian that the best way for our enemy to attempt to disarm us is to get us to doubt what God has said, misappropriate what God has said, and ultimately disobey what God has said. You see, Satan knows that God is merciful, but he is also a just God and will discipline those he loves, as well as reluctantly destroy those who continue to reject him and refuse to take him at his word. Satan also knows the value of the word and will do everything he can to distract from its truth and power. In short, Satan does not want you to hear the word, read the word, study the word, quote the word, believe the word, or obey the word. I spent a lot of time this past week studying Psalm 19. It was awesome. Let me read a little of it to you. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. If you go back to Genesis and the creation, you'll repeatedly see words and God said. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let this happen, and it did. And all of creation came into being. In the first few verses of Psalm 19, David shares how creation itself is a testimony of the vast, dependable, creative one who holds the universe in his hand. Yes, even in creation, God speaks to us, and his word is a constant reminder of the many ways he reveals himself to us in nature, should we ever doubt him. Many cults, including the occult, have led people to worship the created rather than the creator, while true believers have missed the message of the created that exalts the creator. Is it any wonder Satan wants people to question how the world came into being? I've always loved to go to the beach. The sky seems bigger at the beach and more magnificent than I can even behold with my two eyes. The water seems to meet the horizon, becoming one with the sky, and I'm reminded of the fact that neither of them can be measured any more than the grains of sand on the beach can be counted. How great is our God! As I look up and down the beach, I'm certain that the God who has been with me in the past will be with me in the future and will never leave me or forsake me. The beauty and strength of the waves are a testimony of God's power as they carry with them the momentum of great ships and the life force of the sea, as well as the faithfulness of the waves in constant motion, giving notice that God can be trusted and is always at work in behalf of his children. Take a few moments every day to look at what God has to say about himself in nature. If we spent half as much time doing that instead of complaining about the weather, etc., etc., how different our attitude would be. Can you believe I actually thanked God for the rain today? And rain is a pretty common part of the Northeast Ohio weather conditions. Let's see what else Psalm 19 says about the Word. Beginning in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Beginning in verse 7, we read, the law of the Lord is perfect. I'd like to share with you Charles Spurgeon's commentary on this. The law of the Lord is perfect, by which he means not merely the law of Moses, but the doctrine of God, the whole run and rule of sacred writ. The doctrine revealed by God, he declares to be perfect, and yet David had but a very small part of the scriptures. And if a fragment, and that the darkest and most historical portion, be perfect, what must the entire volume be? How more than perfect is the book which contains the clearest possible display of divine love and gives us an open vision of redeeming grace? The gospel is a complete scheme or law of gracious salvation, presenting to the needy sinner everything that his terrible necessities can possibly demand. There are no redundancies and no omissions in the Word of God and in the plan of grace. Why then do men try to paint this lily and gild this refined gold? The gospel is perfect in all its parts and perfect as a whole. It is a crime to add to it, treason to alter it, and felony to take from it. The second part of verse 7 gives the effect of God's perfect word, converting the soul or refreshing the soul. When God's perfect word takes root in the heart of man, it not only brings about the knowledge of right and wrong, but brings with it a hope and desire that true change can be made and one can be brought into the relationship with God for which mankind was originally created. Now, isn't that what most religions are trying to achieve and all kinds of people are missing? Next, we read that the testimony of the Lord is sure. Another way of putting this might be that the testimony of the Lord is always true or trustworthy. What is his testimony? Even as one is asked to testify to the truth in a court of God's law, God's testimony not only bears the truth against sin, but also the truth of restoration and the forgiveness of sin. Satan is the accuser of the Christian before God, but Jesus is forever interceding and bearing testimony to the fact that we are forgiven by his blood that covers our sin. This testimony believed makes wise the simple. Nothing is as simple as a little child who is quick to believe what it's told and remains teachable. Studies done by child evangelism prove that the older one gets before they hear the good news of the gospel and respond, the less likely they are to believe and be saved. We're told to come to God as little children, and he would in no wise cast us out. Even more so, after we become his child, we're to come before his throne as dearly loved children and make our requests known unto him. Of this we can be certain. And those of you who work in children's ministry are to be commended. Isn't it sad that the area of children's ministry is the most difficult area to get people to help in? And yet, when trying to share the good news of the gospel to adults, it's best to use the same simple approach you would use with a child. Psalm 19 goes on to say, the precepts or statutes of the Lord are right. His word is never wrong. Oh boy, if that won't start an argument. Even as a doctor would give the correct diagnosis and prognosis, or counselor give correct counsel, the word of God is never wrong, and correctly applied, can in fact, in time, bring joy to one's heart, whether hopeless, broken, or covered with sin. Psalm 19 also says, the commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Let me just say that God's commands are not suggestions. His commands help us see ourselves as we truly are, and also how we can become. We gain new perspective, even as one in a dark room is better able to move about when the light is turned on. Our uncertainty regarding choices to make is now made clear as we become familiar with his commands and obey them. No longer can confusion blind us, for discernment will lead the way as we follow the light of God's word. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. The word of the Lord is perfect, not lacking anything in its ability to convict of sin and also move one forward in hope and desire to allow it to have its perfect work in them, that they might become victorious children of God, much to the enemy's disdain. Too often, our well-intended methods of trying to explain the word get in the way of the word itself, as the Holy Spirit has the ability to make clear its meaning in greater ways than we can. From there, the Word of God testifies of Jesus making intercession for us before the Father, that we truly are His because of the price that was paid for our forgiveness of sin by the blood of the Lamb, though Satan would try to accuse us and turn God's heart against us. The word tells us we can be confident in our position as dearly loved children, regardless of feelings or circumstances, for God is trustworthy and cannot lie. The word, properly applied, brings healing and joy in the progression of faith, along with certainty of direction and discernment of the enemy's deception. For God's word is truly a light into our path. From this, we have no need to fear except the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom and a sure defense against the foolishness of sin, which leads only to destruction, or at best, a waste of time. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. Who are we to question God? For he alone is good, and all his ways are just. Even as an earthly king has the right and power to decree what he will, we can be sure of God's desire and ability to decree that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, sons and daughters of the Most High God, both in privilege and in power against all the forces of hell. Joyfully capable of walking in strength and wholeness and obedience to God without being deceived by the lies of our enemy. God's word is more to be desired than anything we could ever crave that this world has to offer in its temporary ability to satisfy, even as honey from the honeycomb. For by knowing and keeping the word of God, we are warned as well as rewarded both in this life and in the one to come. All the guns and ammunition you may store up will only be a very inadequate means of defense. All the physical food you have on hand will only provide a very temporary means of survival. You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we war against the powers of darkness. And we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, even as Revelation 12:11 says, they triumph over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You don't often hear that part of verse 11, do you? How about when we read in Revelation 20, verse 4, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Is the word of your testimony the testimony of God? Revelation 19:13 says, he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Do you know it? I mean, really know it and know him who is the word? Have you studied it? Have you allowed the seed of God's word to take root in your heart, that the desires of your heart are in agreement with his heart as you walk in faith and certainty in his word, bearing fruit, much fruit, fruit that will last? Do you know and walk in obedience to the commands of God? For his word says, if you love me, you will obey me. Do you know the word and obey it? Because this will keep you from being deceived and led astray. As the joy of the Lord, your strength, as you have correctly applied his word to your situation or circumstance, regardless of the opinion of others or the immediate outcome. Are you prepared to face the adversary of both soul and body, and not succumb to the fear of physical death, but rather take your stand as a testimony of God's word, even if it means your life? If you said yes to all of these questions, you are properly armed and ready for battle. Be alert. Stay alert. Your enemy is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour with weapons of doubt, unbelief, fear, deception, and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. With threats of suffering and even in death. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." 1 John 2:14, "I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one." In closing, I would like to read this brief commentary. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, by whose blood they were redeemed and ransomed out of the hands of Satan that was stronger than they, and by which they were justified from all sin. And so all charges and condemnation were of no avail against them, whether of Satan or the world, or by which they were cleansed from all pollution, both internal and external, and by which even their conversation garments were washed and made white. By this they also drew nigh to God with boldness, as to their own God, notwithstanding the accusations of Satan. And this they could and did make use of as a shield to defend them against all his charges. And this being sprinkled upon them, as it gave them an inward conscience, peace amidst all, so it was their security from the destroying angel. And under this purple covering, they went triumphantly to glory, having through it obtained an entire conquest over Satan. As also, and by the word of their testimony, either by Christ, the essential word, they bore record of, who is sharper than any two-edged sword, and through whom they were made more than conquerors, or rather by the use they made of the scriptures of truth, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to which they bore a faithful testimony, and to which they adhered, and by doing so gained the victory over Satan and his instruments, whether false teachers or persecutors, and particularly by the gospel, which they embraced, professed, and preached with constancy and courage, and by their last testimony they bore to it at their death on the account of it, as it follows, and they love not their lives unto death. They did not value them. They made no account of them. They were not anxiously careful to preserve them. They chose to lose them. They ran to the stake and willingly and cheerfully laid them down. They did not count them dear unto them, as said the Apostle Paul, that they might finish their course with joy and testify the gospel of the grace of God. or bear a testimony to it. Even as Christ has directed, they hated their lives in comparison of him. And when in competition with him and his gospel. And by doing thus, they conquered Satan. Had they loved their lives and saved them by denying Christ and his truths, Satan would have conquered them. But dying in the cause of Christ and for it, they got the victory over him. If you could say yes to those questions listed earlier, then the enemy has already taken you captive, or you've been deceived in believing you can merely bring a knife to a gunfight, setting yourself up as an easy target. If God is speaking to your heart right now, don't waste another moment. His word says he's not willing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. He has already paid the price for your soul in daily victory through the blood of his dear son, Jesus. Repent. Come as you are and lay down your life before the Most High God. Come into covenant relationship with him through Jesus Christ alone. Experience the victory that is yours for all eternity. Take up your weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Fight the good fight, and having done all, stand. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can know you through the word, which is personified in Christ Jesus. Forgive us for other gods that we have put before you and your word. From this day forward, may we be ever alert and prepared for battle, that whether in life or death, we bear testimony of your truth and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this podcast. I pray God will use it in some way to transform your life. Please continue to remember us in your prayers and remember us in your support as together we fight the good fight.